expecting so much from us.
Two things out of that scripture passage and the first part about listen to his voice with all the things current day that everybody has going. And I may be thinking about golf or thinking about, you know, whatever things about work. But for the most part, if no one takes the time to even stop and stop all their things just to listen to God.
Yeah, you got to be
still.
Whether you
read your scriptures and go to Bible study and think about those things and listen to what God says to you from the scriptures. If you don't do that, that's half the thing right there where you're not even trying to listen to what he's saying to you. How are you going to know what your Father wants of you if you don't stop and listen?
When they hear the scripture, Mark, be still and know that I'm God, you would ask the average Christian today, what does it mean to be still? And they would think that the verse is telling them to be motionless. And it has nothing to do with that at all. What God is saying, your heart is, what did he say to Martha? He said, Martha, Mary has chosen the better part. You are encumbered with many things. See, Jesus was saying, be still, woman. Stop it. You know, we're concerned about, well, what do you think about Obama? Be still and know that he's God. You think nothing about Obama. What do you think about the Constitution? Who cares about the Constitution? That has nothing to do with God. Be still and allow God to do what he has to do. Affirm him.
And the other thing, cling to him.
Yeah.
If no one, like we talked about already, if you don't fear God and have that fear of disappointing God, if you're a believer, you know, disappointing him, not following through with what you've already learned, if you don't cling to him, if he's not what you hold on to, then that's your lack of respect, that's your lack of listening.
Yeah.
And there goes your life. You're floating, you know, in the Pacific Ocean without a rudder. Nothing's going to guide you. You'll be tossed along. And to have that kind of feeling, if you're a believer, you have to be going crazy if you're just tossed with no direction, nothing holding you together.
Yeah. You know, as we and slow up and take our time and look at verse 4 of Deuteronomy 13 again, it really communicates something interesting. It starts off and says that you shall follow. Now, when it says you shall, this is an indication, and I pointed out in the Bible study that this is personal.
Right.
Okay, that this is about you, the person listening to this Bible study. It's about me, the person talking. You guys out there all around the country, don't be trying to think of your group, your Bible study group. Are you following him? Don't be worried about if your wife is following or if your husband is following far off. Forget them. The only thing that you can do is to have them to read that Bible verse. See, man, we got to do Christianity in the solo lane.
Personal.
We cannot do Christianity in group. And that's another problem with American Christians. They're trying to do the Christian faith in group therapy. You can't do this in group therapy. He said, you shall. Okay? In other words, if you follow God, you can't give Satan a place. If you follow God, you're going to follow him in the solo lane while you're going through the other issues. Stop and say, hey, you're going to be going just because you follow God. He isn't going to straighten everything out and make it nice and right for you. Things are going to be difficult. Remember, in the kind of society that we live in, most of you people voted for Barack Obama because he told you he was going to fix it. He ain't fixing nothing. This thing is broken. It is shattered. It was planned to be that way. Now, the point is, how are you going to respond in the coming failure of our democracy or our republic or our country? How are you going to fare while this takes place? Let's think about it. I know it gives you ulcers to think about it. But it says, I shall. In other words, am I willing to be honest with myself? Am I willing to speak to my own heart? Is my mind made up that I will? What is the second thing in this verse? I will follow him. This is what he says, follow him. You don't follow God unless you desire to follow him. We're looking at Deuteronomy 13 and 4. Look at the verse, friends. because you're not looking at the verse. It is God's word. Do you desire to follow him? In other words, you got to answer the question. Why should you follow God? Are there benefits in following God? Are you following God for the benefits? Are you following God because in Deuteronomy 13 and 4, it says that here the preacher is saying in this verse, he's saying, you shall follow the Lord your God. All right. Now, are you following him? Why should you follow him? What gets in the way of you following him? Do you want to follow him? Is there a willingness for you to follow him? These are the kinds of questions that you've got to ask yourself as you live your Christian life. And it's not about going to church every Sunday and or putting in your money. Following God entails the rest of your life being the kind of person that he wants you to be, not being the kind of person that you want to be. Following God takes sacrifice. Following God takes commitment. Following God means martyrdom. And that's what he's asking you to do. Look at the other part of this. Deuteronomy 13 and 4, it says, I shall follow him. And then it says, and fear. Now, this fear, I'm scared if I do and scared if I don't. In other words, I'm going to follow God, but it's not that kind of scared alone. It's called reverential fear. I follow him reverentially. Okay, I'm thinking about what I'm talking about. Because if I say something that's wrong as a pastor, God can judge me. You know what, guys? I went to, the brother that used to be at our church, put up a few of my clips on the website, Nelson. Mm-hmm. Went to Rodney Nelson's little blogs that he has on my video clips, and a lot of people, and he got thousands of hits on those clips, but a lot of people are saying John Coleman is a fake preacher. And it was wonderful to read some of the people that I don't know that said, I know John Coleman personally, and he is not fake. What he says, he lives. That's following God.
Right.
See, following God is not the testimony about how much money you have. Following God isn't about that. Following God is when somebody can say, hey, that guy ain't lying. That guy is telling you the truth. That is what God is. And that guy has suffered martyrdom behind following God. And when you find people that say that they're following God and they haven't suffered the loss of anything, come on, man. We just need to stop lying. And then it says, after following him and fear him. All right? What do I fear more? Is there pride in the way? Do I feel content enough that I don't fear him? These are the questions that you have to ask yourself. And as you go down that verse, it says, I shall keep. In other words, your mind is made up. The devil is played out. This is who I am now. I don't turn around in the middle of my Christian journey. See, Bob, whatever happens, if it confronts me, what you do is you say, did I bring this about by any sin in my life? No. Then God wanted it to take place? Mm-hmm. Okay, fine. Let it be and said.
And boy, I've struggled with that too.
Why? Talk to me.
Well, just when struggling through a difficult time, knowing our sinful nature, knowing how far we fall short, wanting so much to not have it be judgment because of my disobedience, but to want it to be, this is God's will, this is just growth. You know, growth versus just punishment.
This is what I'm, look, it's spring break next week. This is what I plan to do. I told myself I'm going to put Bro Man in a kennel for 2 days, and I'm just going to drive and go somewhere. I've been feeling guilty, Bob, because I want to drive somewhere, get me a hotel room, take my new computer, do some work, read a book, and just don't do anything. Why do I feel guilty? Why do I feel guilty when I'm out of this studio doing this? God is pleased with that behavior by me. I think that we as Christians, this is one thing that we have to learn how to do. We have to learn how to enjoy ourselves also. Oh, that's me. Just let that go off. That cannot be that important. All right, wait a minute. It may be. You guys talk.
Well, one thing that we notice back from these Deuteronomy texts, and I'm going to go back first to the Deuteronomy 10 text, Deuteronomy 10:12. Now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways and to love him and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul? So there's three alls in there which are just very major. To walk in all of his ways, serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Jesus commands, basically demands and commands everything, requires everything from us. Every thought, every action, every motive. And of course, we cannot possibly truly ever achieve that here on earth, but that's what we need to be striving for. One thing that the Lord tells us in the New Testament, it's going to take me a second to bring it here, but Jesus said that if you love me, you will keep my commandments.
That shows obedience. That shows just by your obedience, you're tracking with the Lord, you're following, willing to follow direction, and you know that's the best thing for you, because to do anything else outside of that, any sort of other obedience to anything else, just going to make you drift off to some other direction.
Correct. Correct. And he says that in John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he might abide with you forever. So he will give you the gift of the Holy Spirit, providing you're keeping his commandments, providing you're showing you're loving God. Now see, and that's the other thing too, that both the New Testament and the Old Testament is saying, if you love me, you'll keep my rules, you'll keep my commandments.
Right.
Not like the Jews do. Not like the Catholics do. Well, I can't eat for an hour before I take the Holy Communion, and I must genuflect three times, and I must cross the sign of the cross so many times, and I must bow every time I walk in front of the altar.
Right.
That's not loving God by keeping his commandments. That's just ritual and human tradition, as opposed to the Lord saying, you know, feed the homeless.
Yes.
You know, help somebody out who is truly in need. So much as you did it to the least of these, you've done it unto me.
Sure.
So that's what the Lord is saying, both in the New Testament. If you love me, keep my commandments. And so the flip side of that, when I sin, is I have to truly investigate myself and say, do I really love God?
There it is.
Or yeah. Do I love this more than him?
Yeah.
See, and we don't want to do that because we have the wrong idea about God. We have God as
he'll
this.
Forgive. He'll forgive. He understands.
He's just our heavenly bellboy, you know, or a bellhop. You know, I need some.